Well, Happy New Year, Emmanuel Church. Thank you for joining us for today's message online. Before we hear from Pastor Danny, let me just give a shout out and welcome to anyone watching us, maybe for the very first time. We'd love to connect with you. If you text the word hello, 65248, love to send you some information about Emmanuel Church, answer any questions you may have, and we'll also send you a gift in the mail as well. Well, without further ado, let's dive into today's message with Pastor Danny. The message is called Failing Up, There's More to the Story.
So 2023 is over, and tomorrow starts a brand new year, 2024. And I want to begin with a question. What did you hope to get done in 2023 that you did not get done, or that you weren't able to achieve? Did you want to get in shape, but you didn't do it? Did you want to go back to school and get a degree, but you didn't do it? Did you want to start a business, but you didn't, or maybe you tried and it failed? Did you want to repair a relationship, but you didn't follow through, didn't get it done? Did you want to finally get organized or get your finances in order, but you weren't able to do it? Did you want to get rid of a bad habit that you really know you need to get rid of, maybe an addiction of some kind, but you didn't? What was it that you wanted to accomplish in 2023 that you failed at? You know, a lot of people struggle to get excited about a brand new year because of the failures of the past. In fact, when you talk to people who do not set New Year's resolutions, they give you that reason. They say things like, well, I set resolutions last year and I didn't do it, so why set myself up for disappointment again? It's a real struggle. What if I could share a few thoughts with you today that could help you maybe use some of the failures or setbacks or disappointments of the past actually as a catalyst for the new year? What if I could share a few thoughts with you that could help you get excited about the possibilities of a new year despite the failures of the past? Would you listen to me? I'm sitting here in a coffee shop enjoying a nice pumpkin spice latte. And to try to give you the feel that it's just me and you, that I'm not speaking to thousands of people. I'm just speaking to you about your life, about your potential, about your situation. Would you play with that idea for a little bit? Would you imagine with me, it's just us, it's just me and you. And let's dive into your particular situation. Where did you fail last year? And my question to you, if it were just me and you sitting here in a coffee shop, here's what I would ask you. Are you gonna let that failure hold you back? Are you gonna let the setbacks of 2023, or even beyond that, 2022, 2020, whatever. Are you gonna let those failures hold you back from becoming the person that God's created you to be and from doing the things that God has called you to do? If it were just me and you sitting here chatting over a cup of coffee, here's the first thing that I would share with you. If you were a little discouraged or you weren't excited about this new year, I would tell you that everyone fails, everyone. There's not a person on this planet that doesn't fail regularly, repeatedly, or even epically in massive ways. I mean, when you open up the Bible, which I hope that you do, and I would encourage you to do that every single day if you can, right on the very first pages of the Bible, you see Adam and Eve failing epically. God tells them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they do it. I mean, you go into the Bible and you see characters like Esau who sells his birthright for a bowl of stew. What a failure. You look at King Solomon who God spoke to him audibly twice. Can you imagine that? God's never spoken to me audibly. Two times God spoke to Solomon with a physical, audible voice, and yet Solomon disobeyed God and failed. and the kingdom was taken away from his son. And think about King David, one of the main characters in the Bible. And he's the leader of the nation of Israel. He's this incredible person in the Bible, and yet he has this epic failure. One day when he should have been out to war with his military, with his crew, he stays home, and he, after a nap, he wakes up and he's walking around on the porch of his palace there, and he notices a beautiful woman taking a bath, and he begins to lust after her. And in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "And David sent messengers to get her, and she came to the palace, and he slept with her." He was married, she was married, and he commits adultery. And then to cover it up, it's a long story, but cover it up, he has Uriah, his one of his main military guys, murdered. You think about Moses. Moses, one of the main characters of the Old Testament, and it talks so much about in the New Testament as well. And he's this major figure in the Bible, and yet he has this massive failure. See, Moses was part of Pharaoh's family, and he was adopted into the family. And he knew that he wasn't Egyptian. He knew he was a Hebrew, and he knew that his fellow Hebrews were enslaved by Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And so one day he's out, he's a grown man, he sees one of his fellow Hebrews being abused by one of the Egyptians, and he becomes angry, he becomes enraged, just like you and I would. And in Exodus chapter 2, it says, "After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand." Moses commits murder, kills the guy. We don't really know how he kills him. Maybe he killed him with a club or his hands or strangled him. I don't know. But he commits murder. Everyone fails. Peter, think of Peter in the New Testament. He's one of the inner three of Jesus' disciples. He's in the inner circle. There's Peter, James, and John, the big three. And yet Peter denies Jesus three times. He's in the garden. He's watching Jesus go through these different trials and face these accusers or falsely accusing him. And this is before Jesus goes to the cross. And one young girl notices and recognizes that Peter's been one with Jesus, and he denies it. Then another young girl recognizes Peter. He denies it again. And then some of the other people standing there, they say, no. I know you have been with Jesus. You're one of his disciples. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 74, it says, "Peter swore, 'A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man.'" And then the rooster crowed. What an epic failure. Peter, Moses, David, Adam and Eve, Esau, you go down the list, Solomon, Samson failed. All these different people failed in the Bible. Everybody fails. If you have failed, guess what? You are in good company. You do not need to be discouraged. You do not need to be ashamed, because everyone fails. Why do people fail? Why do I fail? Why do you fail? Why did King David fail? Why did Samson fail? Esau fail? Why did Moses fail? There's lots of reasons. I mean, we get distracted. We're unfocused. Sometimes we fail to leverage the resources that are available to us. Sometimes we simply lack self-discipline. I'm a huge believer that self-discipline is the ability to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done, regardless of how you feel. That's tough. Self-discipline is a hard thing. We lack consistency. We don't follow through, so we fail. We fail to get accountability in our lives, right? There's lots of different reasons why people fail. But here's what I can tell you. Here's what I can tell you. Whatever the reason that you have failed, failure is not final. It's not final. John Maxwell wrote a book a couple years ago, actually quite a few years ago, called Failing Forward. It's a fantastic book on this whole topic of how to push through failure and how to overcome failure. In the book, right in the first chapter, he says this with such an amazing quote. He says, "The difference between average people and achieving people is their perception of and their response to failure." Their perception of and response to failure. What does that mean? That means that everybody fails, so they're all going to have to face it, but all of us are going to respond differently to it. We're going to perceive it differently. We're going to interpret failure differently. In the book, Maxwell says that successful people that are able to leverage failure and move past failure, they don't view it as final. A lot of people do. When they fail, they're like, oh, that's it, I failed, I'm over. And to quite honest, that's why a lot of people struggle to be excited about a new year or a new opportunity. It's like, well, see, I failed at that. I'm not gonna try again. I'll never try that again, because they view failure as final. But it's not final. It's part of the process, because everyone fails. When I was a kid back in 1985, there's a great story about Coca-Cola, and Pepsi was kind of kicking their butt. Maybe some of you remember that back in the day. And for 20 years, Pepsi had, it was creeping up, and their sales were moving past Coke. And so Coke said, man, we got to do something. And one of their key guys, the guy that actually introduced Diet Coke to the company, he came up with this new product, and it was called New Coke. And everyone was excited about it, and they literally took their product, Coca-Cola, that they had been leaning on for 100 years, that this product, they took it off the shelf and introduced New Coke. And as the story goes, for 79 days, Coca-Cola lost money. Back in those days, they lost $100 million in 79 days. Now, that's equivalent to today, if you adjust for inflation, $280 million in 79 days. This was an epic failure. But see, there's something interesting about the culture at Coca-Cola. They are not the type of culture that sees failure as final. They see failure in a different way. They see failure as an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow. They see it as formative. We're going to talk about some of those ideas in the next few weeks. And so they pushed forward. They did not interpret failure as final. And so they reintroduced Coke Classic into the situation, and things began to soar again for the company, and they are what they are all these years later because they pushed through the failure. Look, if failure was final, if you were sitting here and we were just having a cup of coffee, pardon me while I enjoy this pumpkin spice latte. It's delicious. If we were sitting here, just me and you, I would tell you this. Look, if failure was final, then King David does not go on to become a man after God's own heart. I mean, that's what the Bible says about him. He goes down as one of the greatest kings in the history of Israel. He repents of his sin. Psalm 51 is a whole psalm that he wrote as a psalm of repentance to ask God for forgiveness. Now, there were consequences for David's sin, big consequences, and that's true a lot of times for us as well. We don't escape the consequences of our failures sometimes, but that doesn't mean that it's final. He goes on to become a great king, and even today, he's not known as the king who committed adultery and murder. He's known as a man after God's own heart because he didn't view failure as final. What about Moses? If Moses viewed failure as final, when God came to him in that burning bush and said, hey, Moses, I have a plan for you, he would have said, no way. I'm a murderer. There's no way I can be your hands, your feet, your mouthpiece to Pharaoh. But Moses didn't view failure as final, and he would go on to become the man that God chose to deliver the Egyptians out of 400 years of slavery. He was the guy that God used to bring down the 10 plagues and to part the Red Sea and to lead the Egyptians across the Red Sea on dry ground. A murderer. Failure is not final. If Peter would have viewed failure as final, I mean, he would never have become the rock, the rock of the church, one of the founding members of the church. In the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter's the guy that preaches the first sermon. 3,000 people get saved in one day. This is Peter. This is the guy that denied Jesus 3 times. He cowered. He caved into the pressure. He was afraid to lose his life. And so he lied and said, I don't know the man. You see, I'm convinced that God only uses failure because there's no other kind of people out there. We're all failures. And God sees it.
He sees it all. God sees everything. He sees every screw up, setback, sin, and failure that we commit. And yet, he looks at us and says, you're my guy. You're my girl. In Psalm 100, verse 13 and 14, there's this great passage that I think articulates this situation well. It says that the Lord is like a father to his children, which I totally resonate with because I've got three kids and I'm like, oh, like I get that. The Lord is like a father to his children. Listen to this, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And then the psalmist says this, he knows how weak we are and he remembers that we are only dust. If I were sitting with you here today enjoying a cup of coffee, I would tell you that God sees you and he sees every single time you've failed. He sees all of your setbacks. He knows that you're dust. He knows how weak we are and he does not give up on you. You see, the reason why failure is not final is exactly that. God doesn't give up on you. He never does. He sees me. He sees all my failures. He sees all my inconsistencies. He sees all the times where I procrastinate, the times where I get distracted, the times that I lack self-discipline to follow through. He sees it all. He says, yeah, I'm still gonna work with you. I know that you blew it. I know that you had a setback when it comes to you know, your anger issues or whatever issues that you have. Maybe you've had a setback recently with drugs or alcohol and you were doing so good and you blew it and you're like, man, this is it, I've tried, it's over. God's like, no, hold up, time out. I'm not giving up. If I'm not giving up on you, why would you give up on yourself? Don't do it. Don't do it. I love Rick Warren's quote. Rick Warren, author of Purpose Driven Life, one of the biggest selling books of all time outside of the Bible. He said, if you're still breathing, it means that God is not finished with you yet. Think about that. Are you breathing? I'm breathing. If you're still breathing, God is not done with you yet. If he hasn't given up on you, why would you give up on yourself? You see, if we were sitting here together chatting and I was saying some of these things to you, here's what I think you would be feeling and sensing. I think that you would be feeling some hope. I think that you'd be feeling some relief. I think your shoulders might go back. I think maybe you'd breathe deeply. I think maybe I would see a twinkle maybe come back into your eye, some excitement about 2024 and even beyond that because of what I've just told you, that everybody fails. Failure is not final because God never gives up on you. Wow, what an astounding truth. Now, I've got a lot more to say about failure. I wanna talk about how failure is formative. It shapes the kind of people that we are. I wanna talk about how failure provides us all the lessons that we need to learn in order to get better and not repeat those failures. There's so much fun. I want to talk about how failure is a necessary part of the success journey and moving towards the goals that you have. But I think that one idea today that I've shared with you, that everybody fails, it's not final because God never gives up on you, I think that's enough for us to sit in and absorb and embrace in your heart. Would you take that idea and let it sink down deep into your heart and mind? I think that if you did, 2024 might start to look really bright and you hope might come back into your heart and into your soul. What do you think? As we close out today, I want to go back to Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. It says in that passage that God is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate. He knows how weak we are, and he remembers that we're dust. Every single one of us have fallen short. There's not a person on this planet that hasn't sinned except Jesus. And some of us might think, man, because I've blown it, because I've sinned, God is angry with me. He's going to punish me. He wants to bring down wrath upon me. You know, the Bible teaches something completely different. It says that God looks at our failures, our sins, our shortcomings, with compassion. He loves us. In fact, he loves us so much that he actually did something to remedy those failures, those sins, those faults, those mistakes. He sent his only son, his sinless, spotless son, Jesus, to this earth to die on a cross, to wash away all of our sin, to wash away all of our guilt and shame from all the failures and all the mistakes that we have ever made. And why did he do it? Here's what the Bible says. He did it because he loves us. That he demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God loves you, and he wants to forgive you, and he wants to cleanse you. What if you started 2024 on that note, from that position, where you put your faith in Christ, and you become a child of God by asking Jesus to forgive your sins? If you'd like to do that right now, it'd be my honor and privilege to lead you in a prayer of faith where you reach out to Jesus and ask him to be your Savior. If you feel led to do that right now, would you pray with me? Just say this to him. Dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I believe I've fallen short. I've failed. I've broken your laws, broken the rules, and I need your forgiveness. Would you please wash away my sin? I believe you died in my place, paid the price that I could not pay, canceled the debt held against me. I trust you today. I place my faith in you today. Make me your child. And from this day forward, teach me to follow you and to love you and to honor you with my life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, our church will rejoice with you because the Bible says that when one person does that, there is rejoicing in heaven. And so we rejoice with you. We have a gift for you we want to put in your hands. We call it our Save Box. It's actually a box that we send you in the mail that has a Bible in it, some information about how to get started on your faith and small groups and some other stuff about the church. So if you would text the word saved on your screen there to 65248, we would love to send that box to you. There's also a gift in there from us to you to say congratulations. So be sure to text the word saved to 65248 if you trusted Christ today. As we wrap up today, like I said, there's a lot more I want to say about this topic. It's a conversation, okay, over the next couple of weeks I want to have. And let's kind of continue and pretend like it's just going to be me and you at a coffee shop working through this stuff together. I want to invite you back to Emmanuel next week to one of our physical locations. We've got 6 physical locations all across the area. You can find those at ecclife.org. And if you can't make it to a physical location, you can also join us online with our online campus. And again, you can go to ecclife.org to check that out. Hey, it's been a privilege to be with you today to have this conversation sort of one-on-one together today. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Well, thank you, Pastor Danny. Man, wasn't that a good message? So timely. We need that as we enter 2024. If you made the decision to follow Jesus, congrats to you. Again, make sure you text SAVE 65248. We'd love to send you a SAVE box in the mail. Just help you on your new spiritual journey. We can't wait to see all of you at all of our campuses. We're back at it January the 7th, 9 and 11 a.m. Love to see you as we kick off a brand new teaching series called Failing Up. You guys have an awesome new year. Stay safe, and we'll see you next Sunday and bring a friend.